Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
So, anyway, we're continuing our series going through Proverbs. If you were not here last week, you are welcome, so welcome. Not right now, but like after church. Hop online, and it would be some really good information to go through. We kind of did some background. Proverbs is one of three books of wisdom, and we really need all three. You know, we just can't read just Proverbs. You have to have the balancing between Proverbs, between Ecclesiastes, and between Job. All three of these books, they give us a message. Proverbs, again, lets us know, you know, here are the probabilities. Here's the way that you can live a wise life. And if you hold on to this, most likely you're going to put yourself in position to have the best life you can, to do life well. Ecclesiastes lets us know that, boy, trying to find the meaning of life is very, very difficult. And there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. But at the very end, the best thing we can do is hold on to the fear of the Lord. And the underlying message of Job is, sometimes bad things happen to good people, but even with that, holding on to the fear of the Lord and the wisdom that God gives us perspective, and he ultimately has some wonderful lessons for us. So we need all three books, but to set up this week, I was in preaching in North Carolina, I think a year and a half ago, and it was in the winter, so I went down a little bit early and stayed a couple days at a VRBO at Topsail Beach because they were very, very cheap because it was off-season. And so I would get up in the morning, and I'd get my cup of coffee, and I'd walk down the beach, and there was nobody there, very few people, and the porpoises would jump in the surf, and it was really pretty. And all of a sudden, one morning, I was coming back. I walked about a mile down, was coming back, and I bumped into a guy who looks kind of like this, except he had more winter clothes on. Have you ever seen this guy on the beach? What's that in his hand? Yeah, metal detector, okay? And he had a big bag next to him, and in this bag were rings and coins and necklaces and jewelry. He had a pretty big bag worth of stuff, and I began to look at him, and here I was listening to the waves, and I was looking at the marine life, and he was listening to his little headphone that was telling him what the instruments were saying, and his eyes were on the sand in front of him and on the instruments, the readout, and I thought it was kind of odd, because here I thought, man, this is the real treasure here. Is the surf and stuff, and he was breaking it in, doing his thing, and so I began to think about that, and then I went in back to my little house there, my apartment, and as I looked, I did a little Google search to see, can you really find anything good with those things? And in 1989, a prospector from Sonora, Mexico, went into a Radio Shack. Okay, back in 89, and he purchased a little cheap metal detector, and he went out into the desert. And after about 3 days, his metal detector went nuts, and he pulled out this nugget here, weighing 389.4 troy ounces. That's a little over 26 and a half pounds of gold. Money, 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 money. It was called the Boot of Cortez, is what they named it. And it's the largest nugget at that time. It was the largest nugget unearthed in the Western Hemisphere. And in 2008, the Boot of Cortez was auctioned off, get this, for $1,553,500. Everybody say cha-ching. So it's like, look, sometimes, you know, if you put the effort in, you're going to find some treasures, and there's a lot of treasures to be found. And so we're going to continue going through Proverbs in our lesson today. I want you to kind of keep that in your mind as we look at Proverbs chapter 2 and chapter 3. Some really interesting things here, some wisdom for us, and we're going to kind of see a couple of the 10 speeches of a father to a son that are encapsulated in the book of Proverbs. So let's jump right in, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and let's all read it together so we we can get some of that wisdom just seeping into our brains. Ready? One, two, three. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is a pretty awesome statement here, and there's some neat things here. Again, these ten statements, conversations of a father to a son, all let us know of the value of wisdom and what happens when we embrace it, and also what happens if we reject it. Now, the Hebrew word here for wisdom is a very interesting word. If you give me just a couple moments, I want to kind of break into that. Because when you look and search it out, there are some times that the word is shown that you think, why is that word used to describe this particular person or this particular entity? So it's the Hebrew word for wisdom is this word chokmah. Okay, chokmah. And this word chokmah, again, it's got some interesting connotations. Yes, it means wisdom in kind of the simplest form. But if we go back to the book of Exodus, this word is used when Moses is told by God to call a few individuals around who had chokmah. And these individuals were skilled craftsmen. One of them is Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, who was instrumental in building the tabernacle. And he chose him because the Lord gave him chokmah. In other words, he was a skilled master craftsman. He had developed his craft with years of discipline and training and effort. And so my first point for us here today is an important one. Because a lot of us think that we just wake up wise. You don't just wake up wise. You don't go to bed stupid and wake up wise, okay? I know we wish that happened. Wisdom is not something that happens through osmosis. Wisdom is sought and developed. Wisdom is sought and developed. Again, Proverbs here, this father conveying to his son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands. This is a beautiful thing, to make your ear attentive to wisdom. I like that he says, make your ear attentive to it. How many of you have kids who you have said things to that would really help their life, and for whatever reason, they decide to not listen? Anybody ever have that weird thing ever happen to them? You think if you just would have listened, it would have worked out so much better, you know? The E on the gas gauge is not a relative E, okay? It means something. It does not stand for everlasting. All right? It does not stand for energy. It stands for empty. All right, so I guess a few questions for us that we can consider if we want to grow in wisdom is, who has your ear? Think right now of your life. Who has your ear? For some of us, you know, a lot of us are politically minded. I've tried to become a little more political, and I got to watch out not to have just certain things that only have your ear. Some of us won't believe anything until we have a particular commentator. For some of us, it's a trusted mentor, and that can be a wonderful thing. For some of us, the only thing that has our ear is entertainment. For some of us, we're seeking the truth, and we have to consider, where are we going for our source of the truth? I tell you, and that's a harder and harder thing for us to do now in the age in which we live, because so much of what is shown is perspective and very little truth. So facts are hard to find. These things are very, very difficult. And so we have to ask our question, who has our ear? To whom are we listening? And then the follow-up is, are they godly voices? Consider the company that you keep. Who fills your ears? What are the things you hear? And so we have to consider, who are these individuals that were around? Now, he says something very interesting. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. I think about craftsmen. And I know in our society today, it's a very difficult thing because we have lost the value of apprenticeship. We really have. We've lost the value in many ways of mentoring. Because here's what we do, and I'm guilty as anybody. I had to fix my washing machine Friday. And so what I did to fix my washing machine is I opened YouTube and I said, how to change the door seal on a blah, 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 Kenmore, blah, blah, blah. And then I went through the video and I did all the things and tore it apart and fixed it and put it back. And I felt very good about myself, but I began to think about the loss of mentoring. Have I replaced people with a stupid machine? It's convenient. I will guarantee you it is convenient. But I also remember when I was younger, my folks passed on, and I shared this with First Service. I experienced a very weird blessing, a very weird blessing. And when I say it, you are going to think I'm a horrible person, but listen to the whole part. I was blessed in a way, and again, it's rough. My parents passed on when I was young, and in a way, that was a blessing. Here's why. Not because they're horrible, nothing like that. I miss them dearly. I love them. But it forced me to develop relationships with other people and learn skills. My dad was not a plumber. And the closest I think my dad got to Pentecostalism is when he would work on plumbing and he would speak in tongues, or at least I didn't know the words that were coming out of his mouth. Okay? He would say a lot of very choice words while doing that. And I never learned how to do those things. But I needed a place to live, and the Green Pastures Campground, they were so kind, and they allowed me to stay in a trailer in the back. And there was a gentleman who lived there, the overseer. His name, get this, was Bud Groat. And he looked like a Bud Groat. And he was an old mason, and he had worked with stone, been a stonemason his whole life, and his arms were like Popeye. And there's these bricks, and his hips were gone from years of hard living, and he could barely walk, but he'd get to the scaffolding, and he'd be like a gorilla, and he'd pull himself up with these arms, and he'd be up there, and he'd look down. If you've ever been to the Green Pastures seminar building, the big, big building, the whole front of that, Bud and I rocked that entire front. When I say Bud and I, Bud rocked that entire front. And I handed those to Bud. But I take my joys. I put a couple of them in. But Bud would sit there and he'd look at this little area, and he needed a stone shaped like this. And he'd look down, he'd be like, that one. And I'd go around and I'd get that one and I'd dust it off and climb up there and give it to him. And I'll never forget this. He'd look at it. And his little blue eyes, and he'd feel it. And when he'd rub it, the sand and the dust would fall off and hit me. And he'd look, and he'd ask for his hammer, and he'd take his hammer, and he'd tap and tap and tap, and he'd just like tap, tap. And it would break exactly the shape. I was like, it's amazing. To me, it was just like, how in the world? I know, Rex, you probably do that a lot. But to me, I was like, how in the world could this guy do this? And so I asked him, and he's like, You gotta mess it up a lot before you can do that. And he began to teach me how to do some of these things. And it was nothing that I could learn. But I loved that summer because I learned carpentry and electric and some plumbing without cussing and lots of things that were very cool. And that would not have happened had I not developed those relationships. And so, brothers and sisters, wisdom is to be sought. We have to seek out wisdom. Some of us, it means we have to change our company. Proverbs 13:20 says this: whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I've tried to instruct my kids many a time. It's not just what you do, it's what the people around you will do. And so in making decisions to do things, I trust you, but you got to make a decision. If you're going to be around people who do stupid things, don't be surprised when calamity falls. I've been collateral damage to other people's idiotic decisions. Anybody else? That happens. And you know what helps to limit that or to minimize that? Stay away from foolish people. Well, Pastor, I married one. Stop that. That's not what I'm saying. It's my birthday. I can say what I want. Okay. If you seek it like silver, I love it. We have to really prioritize. This guy at the beach, I mean, seriously, I was enjoying a nice day at the beach, nice and relaxing. And he was focused on getting something. I had walked over so many things that he found because he was dedicated in looking. And my church family, if we're going to be wise in this age, we have to seek wisdom and we really have to develop it. Okay? Wisdom has cost me some things. Okay? Sometimes relationships. There are some changes that I know that I've needed to make and in our relationships to get more healthy relationships. You know, some of us have some friendships that are toxic. We have some really toxic friendships. And I get it, but what we have to do is begin to try to cultivate them and work hard. Well, it's no use. It's no use. You have to continue to press in, gang. To press in, to seek wisdom. Let's go on to chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Let's all read this together, right? My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Now, why on earth would perhaps the wisest, arguably the wisest human who lived pen these words? My son, do not forget my teaching unless we were prone to forget his teaching. I've lost track of how many times in my life I've said, I know better than that. I know better than that. You know? We can say things. I'm not going to go into it. We had an incident, you know, in doing some of the remodel where it was like, hey, we need to be careful of this particular thing. Don't let this thing happen. And then afterwards it's like, I know better than that. I know better than that. I know not to do electric with the live wire. I know not to paint on new carpet without a drop cloth. I know that because that is the problem. Wisdom is there. And quite honestly, sometimes to be wise is inconvenient. To make that extra step. To be cautious. We are called to do just that. Do not forget my teaching. We are a room full of people who have this in common. We forget Christ's teaching often. So how can we do this? Well, he has some great plans for us that we keep these commands, that we bind them around our neck. We write them on the tablet of our heart. And brothers and sisters, this takes discipline. A craftsman. I mean, we think of Bezalel, and he was a craftsman who spent years developing his art. You don't just walk up to a lathe, throw a block of wood in there, and automatically, you know, make a duck call or something or do something wonderful. You don't just do that. You don't just walk into these skills. They are developed. Everybody say developed. Okay, so my second point for us here today, my second point for us here today is this. Wisdom goes hand in hand with God. I got 15 points, so I'm doing well. Wisdom goes hand in hand with God's Word. Wisdom goes hand in hand. You want to get wisdom, godly wisdom? Psalm 119, 19 through 99. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I don't know what this is doing. I need to maybe walk over. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I love that. We meditate on God's Word. And it says it right here. Your commandment makes me what? Wiser. How do we get wise? God's Word makes us wise when we embrace it. We do not let it go. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it and from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. What are the sacred writings? Scripture. He's talking about Scripture. And what does Scripture do? With which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Brothers and sisters, that is how we do it. We need to get after God's word like that guy on the beach. You know, a lot of us, we just kind of gloss over it. And I appreciate, look, get into God's word, but don't do it like, oh, well, this is my habit. I got to get up and I got to quickly get my three verses in and then move on. No, that's walking over the surface. I mean, there's wow, there's something in there for me. I need to dig down. And maybe it's not for today. Maybe it's for tomorrow. Any Twitter people in here? Got some Twitter people? Well, Proverbs is all like a bunch of tweets. Be wise. If they're all nice and easy to understand, if you can't do the whole big, it's just like tweet, tweet, tweet. It's like God tweeting wisdom to us. Solomon's tweeting out. Don't be an idiot. Dude, hey. You know, all these wonderful things. Seek after God's word. Don't forget my teachings. Let your heart keep my commands. It's tweet worthy. Okay. Which brings me to my last point today. So it's a correlation between God's word and wisdom. My final point is what wisdom does for us here in chapter 3. And it's something that sometimes we forget, is that wisdom brings direction. Now, a lot of us are in places in our lives where we're looking for direction. We're looking to find out, you know, what do we need to do? We're faced with a decision or maybe a change in our lives. And with that, I have to say that if we would embrace God's word will embrace us. Let's all read together Proverbs 3, 5 through 13. Ready? Let's all read 3 through 12. 1, 2, 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. We went on vacation several years ago and we went to Lake Powell. Beautiful place. Absolutely gorgeous. If you haven't been there before, that's a really neat thing. And they have all these crazy little paths in the lake. And then but the entire lake has a current. Okay, because of course a river did it. And so when you're there, there's this current that's always going through. And we were, the girls and Eli and I, we swam out and we were kind of looking around for rocks and things and doing a little hike. And the boat was there and it was anchored and then they were going to move on. And so as they got ready to move on, you know, we jumped in and we were swimming back and my brother-in-law had tossed a rope out back and we were kind of looking for our direction and there was the rope and we grabbed a hold. And if we grab a hold, all of a sudden it just kind of drug us. Then we got back on the right track. And as I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking about that because God's word goes out of his mouth and it goes to accomplish the purpose in which it was sent forth. And when we are in times of indecision, we're in times of transition, gang, if you would grab a hold of God's word, it will pull you into his plan. Holding on to God's word is probably the best way that we can experience this. I've seen that time and time again in my life where I didn't know which decision to make. And so the decision that I made was to hold on to God's word. And lo and behold, it got me back on the straight and narrow. It opened up what the next place of destiny was for me. So I really want to encourage all of us in verse 5 there, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. May I give us all just a brief encouragement that we are not smarter than God. But my situation is special. No, it's not. Your situation doesn't trump God's word. I can't say trump. Doesn't supersede God's word. Your situation is not greater than God's word. If you would hold on to God's word, it will bring you into his plan for your life. And when we say, it doesn't apply to me, it doesn't apply to my circumstance, I get you, you are letting go of that tow rope, and brothers and sisters, the current will take you downstream. You can try on your own. It won't work out. It will not work out. When you think what you want conflicts with God's word, don't lean on your own understanding. I was talking with a dear friend this week who's in a rough place, difficult situation. He's like, look, I'm just laying out the facts, and the facts are this. It would be much better for me to make this decision, but I understand if it doesn't line up with God's word. What do you say? I said, what do you think I'm going to say? I said, I'm going to say, hold on to God's word, but I don't see how that's going to work out. And I literally went back to, don't lean on your own understanding. You know, when we lean our own understanding, it's like we eliminate God from doing anything supernatural. There are some things only God can do. And why do we remove ourselves from seeing God be God? Because we're smarter than Him. Oh, the blessedness of being a holy fool. Of knowing that I can just trust God to do His business, and all I need to do is hold on to His word. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. Some of you probably learned this in a different translation, and He will direct your paths. Well, that's just great counsel for us. How little stress. And you know what? This will have an impact on our body. Look at verse 8. It will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I've lost room in my schedule talking to people who are struggling with anxiety and frustration because they won't follow God's word. And it wrecks us. Well, that's none of us. Well, case in point, unforgiveness. And it got really quiet in the room. Unforgiveness, bitterness, they eat us up. As one who's been there, as one who has struggled greatly with horrible things that people have done, not right things. Forgiving somebody doesn't mean that what they did was okay. Forgiveness allows you to stop being a victim from what they did and start being victorious and experience the healing that Christ has for you. Forgiving somebody releases yourself from the chain of what was done. And you can walk in the empowerment of freedom from dragging that anchor around. What is it going to do? It's going to bring healing to our flesh and refreshment to our bones. Gang, just to wrap it up, none of us are perfect, and I get that. Certainly I am not. But my counsel for all of us is to seek wisdom. I mean, consider what you're given. Consider how much of your life, how much effort are you really, really putting forth into gaining God's wisdom? And if you're comfortable with that, then slap yourself because you need to not be. Because none of us are there. Up it. Up it. Be intentional in going after that which God has for us. The impact on our life is going to be fantastic, and you will see the fruitfulness and the purpose that He has for you on this earth come to pass. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Would you pray with me, church? Father in heaven, I praise You and I thank You for Your word to us today. I thank You, God, that You are the author of wisdom, that You've given us ways that we can experience it. And God, I pray for every person in the room today that we would have a refreshed hunger for Your word. And God, let us literally seek it like that guy on the beach, to dig deep, to be intentional. Sometimes that means putting the blinders on to distractions around us. Sometimes that means saying no to other things and prioritizing Your word. And God, thank You that You've given us these books, You've given us these examples, You've given us this great wisdom so that the life that we live here could be a life filled with the blessings that You have for us. Thank You so much for each person today. And God, I pray for those in the room today who are struggling with an issue, who are struggling with a wound, maybe those who are struggling with unforgiveness or bitterness, God, that today they could walk out of this place a little bit lighter, a little bit freer, and a greater understanding of how much you love them. Oh, how we love you. Let us lean on your wisdom, God. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's children said, amen. God bless you, my
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.